Thank you. About 2 weeks ago, I dared to tease one of my elders here in the church, and now I am ever tied with a bow. And I heard a on this side. I'm still learning. And the people in the church know what we're talking about. Please turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 28 and look with me at the passage that the mission committee had been led by the Lord to use as the theme passage for our conference. We read in Matthew 28, and I'll begin with verse 16, going on to the end, these words that the Lord pronounced while he was on the mountain that was common to them. They had been there many times, decision had been made there, and the Lord has spent a lot of time in prayer. And in that mountain, he met with them, they worshiped him, and he turned the attention from the worship that the disciples had offered to him to the mission that he was entrusting unto them. We read, then the 11 disciples, minus Judah, went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the days, always, even to the end of the age. Amen? Amen. This passage, friend, I have just read to you in English, was first written in the language of Greek. And both in this translation and in the Greek text, the word all occurs four times. All authority, all the nations, all things, and always. And this adverb is literally in the Greek, all the days. And our Lord Jesus never exaggerated his speech, as mere human beings often do in order to emphasize a point, because they do not have the power and authority that what they say will just stand on its own. And the Lord's words were always chosen with measure and accuracy. For him to use the word all, such absolute words, for instance, in this short declaration, for him to use that word and use it four times must be of much significance to us. One point of significance upon which we wish to focus in this month of missions emphasis is that a task that is not all done women unfinished for us. Hence the theme of our monthly emphasis, an unfinished task. During his ministry on earth, Jesus made it clear to his disciples that their primary focus should be no less than what his primary focus had been on earth. He said it in various ways to his disciples. Just days before his crucifixion, for example, Jesus repeated this emphasis in his marvelous prayer, which is recorded in John chapter 17. There in verse 18, we read, as you, the Father, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. The Father sent the Son on a mission in this world. The Son sent us on a mission in this world. In well-meant, well-measured words, Jesus is saying that our life focus should be no less than what his life focus had been when he was on earth. It could not be stated more strongly. Believers, our presence on earth is objectively missionary. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20 only spell out the terms of that mission, which I will explain to you under this unifying theme of our Christ-given task. This task that the Lord has delegated to us is not an option or a choice. It is not something like a chore that we may neglect depending upon our status in life or depending upon our personal disposition. No. Look at the first occurrence of this word, all, in the text in verse 18. There we learn our first important lesson, and it is this: that our God, Christ-given task, is a mandate that emanates from Christ all comprehensive authority. Christ says, all authority has been given to me in the dual realms that is all comprehensive, heaven and earth. It is often said that whoever occupies the office of the presidency of the United States is the most powerful person on earth. The individual could be a 78-year-old person. He may not physically be able to play a game of basketball or of baseball. In what manner, therefore, is that individual the most powerful person on earth? It is in the authority that that person detains to make decisions, to sign executive orders, to command the most powerful military on the face of the earth. And the list goes on. And there is not one square inch of the territory of the United States in which the authority of the President of the United States, as exerted within the bounds of the Constitution of the land, of course, there is not one square inch where his authority is invalid. Whoever is duly elected president, all presidential authority has been given to him or her. Jesus preludes his task assignment to us with this statement of all comprehensive authority far beyond anything that the President of the United States of America could have ever been imbued. Now, look at the all comprehensive basis to Jesus' authority. He says that this authority has been given unto him. The Apostle Paul explained to the believers in Philippi in chapter 2, verse 5, and the following verses, that though Jesus existed in the same form as God the Father, with all the prerogative that God the Father has, Jesus did not look at his complete divinity as something to be selfish about. On the contrary, he looked at it with a missionary focus. He, the passage says, emptied himself, not by necessarily removing, but by adding. By adding to his divinity, humanity. He died on the cross and was resurrected from the dead. His resurrection entitled him to all the rights and prerogatives that he had channeled into becoming a human being and dying at the cross. We read this as an outcome in Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. The passage says, therefore, as a result of his dying and being resurrected, therefore God also has highly exalted him. And you see that word given? And given him the name or title or position which is above every name or title or position. Be that anywhere on this world. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth. You see when Jesus says heaven and earth? And of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you see that word given in the text? Yes, when Jesus said that all authority is given unto me, he had just been resurrected from the dead. And his resurrection entitled him to all the authority that he had before the world came into existence. His resurrection entitled him to those authority that he had before when he was with the Father, before he had added humanity. And that is exactly what he prayed a few days prior. In John chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, he began his prayer, what is called the Lord's Prayer or the Lord's Priestly Prayer. He says, Father, it is time. The hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you see that word given again? As you have given him, what's the word here? Authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. The hour has come, and within fewer than 48 hours, he would be crucified. And 3 days after that, he would be resurrected. And he comes to that glorification point to the disciples and says, all authority has been given unto me. His authority is reinstated, yes. But to what extent that he can exert that authority? And this passage also tells us the extent. The all-comprehensive extent to Jesus' authority is seen in these words, in heaven and on earth. When President Obama was president of the United States, I challenged an American colleague of mine who claimed that President Obama was not his president. And during the presidency of President Trump, I challenged a friend of mine who said that President Trump was not his president. If you are anywhere in the territory of the United States of America, the duly elected president of this who occupies the White House is the president over you. And do you know that many a human being has falsely claimed that Jesus is not the authority over him or her? Such a claim is not much wiser than if you covered your head with a towel and pretend that you had become invisible. Whoever is located in any square inch of the cosmos or on the earth is under the all-comprehensive authority of Jesus. And the Bible makes it clear that it is so. Let me give you the evidence. Psalm 8, verse 6. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put, here's our word, all things under his feet. All is all, right? All things under his feet. If you think that the psalmist was not referring to Jesus, then listen to this next verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22, 23. And he, that means God, put all things under Jesus' feet. And is our word give. And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who feeds all in all. All is all, right? Whether it be all things in the universe or all things in the church, Jesus has all authority over all. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 21, talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, that means the one who has all right over every creature. Verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible things and invisible things, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things hold together. And he is the head of the whole of the body, the church, who is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All is all, right? Jesus was not being presumptuous when he said that he was vested, all authority was vested in him in every square inch of reality or existence. Words well chosen and well measured. All is all. The evidence of this all-comprehensive authority is not limited to the declaration of Scripture. It is also presented in the narration of Scripture. Listen to the all-comprehensive manifestation of Jesus' authority. The Gospels report to us that while Jesus was on earth, he exerted full all-comprehensive authority over all things. Listen, Matthew chapter 7, verse 29. That passage tells us that he taught them as one having authority. Matthew 8, verse 27. He acted in such a way that the men were amazed and said, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Matthew chapter 9. Verses 6 and 8, Jesus healed a man who was quadriplegic to make this point, quote, "that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." All authority to do such a kind of thing. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, he called his disciples, and before sending them on a mission, the verse tells us that he gave them. You see that? He just gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. He doesn't even have to be there. They invoked the name of Jesus and bam! In Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 and 27, he chased the people who had transformed God's temple by making it a space of contraband. He has authority over institutions. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. He showed over demons to cast them out. He just get out. Where shall I go? Go to those pigs. Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. He has authority over the souls of men to save them from condemnation or to cast them in hell for judgment. In John chapter 1, verse 12, he declared his authority to save those who believe in him. You believe in me? I have authority to save you. In John chapter 5, verses 26 to 27, Jesus stated his authority to pronounce final judgment upon humanity. Every human being will give account to him, even to the extent of every word that has come out of your mouth. Let alone actions that you would have performed. In John chapter 10, verses 17 to 18, Jesus explains his authority over his own life. "No one is taking it away from me." He says, "I have power to give that life and I have power to take it back." So you see, friends, when Jesus said, "All power is given to me," all is really absolutely all, right? It is not an hyperbole. He really has all authority in heaven and on earth. Every single square inch thereof. And from this all-comprehensive authority, he gives us a task to fulfill. It is a mandate that emanates logically from all comprehensive authority that he detains. And this is this, that our Christ-given task transmits into an all-comprehensive application. Look at verse 19. The passage tells us that this task applies to making disciples of all nations. The Bible makes it clear that all human beings are sinners. And all human beings must claim Jesus to save them from their sinfulness. All is all, right? He is the only one who can save anyone from any nation. Since Jesus was a Jew by birth, some Jews actually thought they were superior to the Gentiles. And in order to give the clarity of the all-comprehensive gospel, Paul studied in the book of Romans and said, okay, what do they have that is more than the other people? You know what? Paul says, well, yeah, God did use them as the channel by which to give revelation to all people. But let me tell you the reality of things. I have just proven to you, Paul said, that all human beings, whether Jews or Gentiles, they are all condemned under sin. And there is no difference. There is no superior or inferior or nothing. No difference. All is all. And in this, he says, that there is that one cue to that all-encompassing disease that every human being has. There is only one cue that is given. And Peter repeated that in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He says, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other, there is no other name under heaven given among humanity by which we must be saved. It is an imperative. There is no other option that God has given among humanity by which every human being must be saved from their sinfulness and the condemnation thereof, save the name of Jesus Christ. Period. And on the basis of Christ's all and comprehensive authority, the mandate unto salvation in Jesus Christ is all comprehensive over humanity. Even human beings can develop cures and expect that cure to be applicable to all comprehensively. Regardless of your personal decision regarding the COVID vaccine, our government believes that the vaccine is applicable to all people on the all American territories comprehensively. If a vaccine developed by human beings, despite the flaws of that vaccine, could be deemed applicable to all human beings, friends, let alone God's cure in Christ Jesus could be applicable comprehensively to the sinfulness of all human beings. Friend, regardless of your personal feelings or inclination, God expects that all human beings all comprehensively become pupils to Jesus Christ. That is what Christ himself told a well-versed professor of the Jewish laws and traditions, a man named Nicodemus, who was looking at Jesus with those big, big eyes. And Jesus said, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. I mean, don't take it as a surprise. That's the way the system is set. It is an imperative binding upon all human beings, whatever the nation, whatever the race, whatever the financial or educational status. Friend, you must be so transformed by Jesus Christ that it would assimilate to being completely newly born. Christ's all-comprehensive authority leads to an all-comprehensive application. And this all-comprehensive application includes all things Christ has taught. All things Christ related comprehensively. Our Christ-given task expects an all-comprehensive acceptance. The passage says to observe just the first 10 things. To observe all things. Everything in the Bible is given to us intentionally and purposefully. Whatsoever Christ has taught is an imperative to obey. No one can nor should dare to select certain things and reject some others. Paul reminded Timothy of that very fact when he said, all scripture is given by the initiative of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you what is the all-comprehensive purpose is. It fits. It is profitable for teaching, for scolding, for correcting, for instructing unto righteousness. For the end goal that every believer should not miss anything. That you will be complete, total, thoroughly equipped for everything that God has called you to do. All scripture that is given is profitable. There is not one part of scripture that is given that somehow we can pass over. And the objective is that every individual would be total, complete, fit and fitted, not missing anything in Jesus Christ. The whole counsel of God is of importance, not some of it. Every part of it, all of it must be taught and obeyed. The task is unfinished until such is done. Friends, this is daunting, isn't it? Who is sufficient for all of this, as Peter said? It is indeed daunting. And no human being is sufficient to accomplish such a daunting task. Hence, the Lord promises to assist us fully. You see, our Christ-given tasks receives Christ's all-comprehensive assistance. Ha! He says, I am with you all the days. There is not a circumstance in the life of a believer where he is left alone to fulfill his or her God-given mandates. No, it doesn't happen. Even when you don't feel that he is present. Sometimes God may give people abundance. And don't think that when you have all things, you will know how to manage it. Other times, God may limit them to scarcity. In either and all cases, with Christ's assistance, the believer can triumph. Paul said so to the Philippians. He said that he had learned by experience to be contented in whatever condition in which God had placed him. He had gained the skill and ability, the spiritual life experience on how to remain faithful in abundance. He gained the skill and ability, the spiritual life experience on how to remain faithful in scarcity. He gained spiritual experience in all of them. Then he gave the clue on how you can have that kind of versatility or resilience. He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, let me tell you, I can do all things who through Christ who strengthens me. Whether it be in abundance or scarcity,
whether it be in trials or in triumph. With that kind of assistance that Christ can give me, I can triumph in any of them. What Paul expressed to have happened in his experience is the assistance that Jesus promised to every single believer in Christ. Paul is not in a special club. Actually, he is, but we all are. All who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Whatever the day may bring as you try to fulfill the task that Christ has assigned to us to proclaim his gospel to all nations, he is right there to sustain and to strengthen you. I am with you all the days. All the days. Wherever you are. I mean, even if you go to the brink of the world, same thing. No sweat. There is not a day that he would ever skip. There is not a place for him to steep. There is not a case that could evade his grip. Friends, Christ has entrusted to us believers the responsibility to announce the gospel to all of humanity. This Christ-given task is a logical imperative outcome to the Lord's all-comprehensive authority. This all-comprehensive authority leads to an all-comprehensive application. It applies to all nations. And this all-comprehensive application demands an all-comprehensive acceptance in that we should obey all things. Whatsoever Christ has commanded. And that daunting task is supported by Christ's all-comprehensive assistance. Opining upon this passage, a great missionary to China, Hudson Taylor, once said, "The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. And until this Christ has been preached in all nations, indeed, all nations have been made a disciple of Jesus Christ and have been taught to obey all things whatsoever he has taught, then our Christ-given task would be considered unfinished." A woman about 5 feet tall braved the challenge and went to Haiti in the mid-1970s to fulfill her part of that Christ-given task. She and a younger sister of hers approached me on the soccer field where I was practicing in the hot, sunny Haitian sun in the mid-Friday afternoon. I had just purchased a pair of soccer cleats and I was practicing before we played soccer later that afternoon. They invited me to a youth club where on Friday, October 27, 1978, at around 5:15 in the afternoon, I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Though later on stricken by cancer, she remained in Haiti until her last breath. Bedridden, and by then a skeleton of no more than about 70 pounds or so, she was still translating songs for the young people and ensuring that the gospel was shared with anyone who attended her bedside. For her, her task was not finished until she herself was. Brothers and sisters, we have an all-comprehensive task in front of us to evangelize every individual in all nations. It's not an hyperbole. And we have hardly made a dent to it.
By God's grace and Christ's all-comprehensive assistance, we can do it until our last breath. Even if we were cancer-ridden and no more than 70 pounds a skeleton, by God's grace and Christ's all-comprehensive assistance, let us endeavor to do our part, however Christ may lead each of us. Let us determine that we are going to take seriously our Christ-given task. Let us pray. Father, thank you that others have taken that task given by Christ seriously. Some gave, some prayed, some went to Haiti and did craft with children and young people, including me. Some shared the gospel, some assisted in my schooling, so that I, in return, would go to dozens and dozens of countries around the world, translating the Word of God, lecturing, teaching, preaching. What a marvelous thing it is, that Christ-given task that is given to us. All indeed is all, and that is all right. And press this fellowship, Lord, that whatever task you have brought to our consciousness, that we will have this confidence that we can do it through Christ who strengthens us. Help us not to default because we have gotten to be so logical in our thinking and so highly positioned, a position which we would not have had it not been the grace of God. What do we have which we have not received? So highly educated that the gospel has become something for someone else to do rather than we. Oh Lord, help us in that regard. Magnify your name. In Jesus Christ's name.